哎，然后呢，有个，哎，我就，哎，中间他们就，他们就几个说了，然后这个，那讲这些国民啊，来接来啊，当不什么可能是当过来些，那个这些学生啊，中间他们就，哎，让给，然后来金钱包当，然后来判断钱包应不什么当钱，那个什么当，个人钱包的金钱包的判断钱包与借钱包应不什么当也都，那得俩电话的电台你别。俺这个电锅准备给钱包装不下，俺都往那找完你别给找我需要什么，你去给我把这个的公布过来。你要不你去讲，你去要不跟我们说的，那什么钱？他们就电话那找我到东莞那找一个，东莞那找我的，你一直别给他对面起信息，没有判断起信息别给他，先说那几个我都是今天哦，告诉我的。真的是有几个嘞？第一要对待什么人？他们觉得第一主要的东西，他们可能是都是的，控制呀。他们他们人们有什么电器？控制他们做研究些？那第一主要当，东西真的是下电，咋当个什么家？他们就都能上交广告投放，叫我身边就是什么几个嘞？今年今年的呢，就是什么过年那边团呢？那俺就人们干起活儿去呢，就把它做成这个，做成俺怕清楚给人们都是。难过过来，三个字，学会几块嘛，读书说。
Good afternoon. So this morning we spoke about how to cultivate love and compassion. This starts with reflecting on our interconnected relationship with others, so as to develop a deep and abiding closeness with others. We do so by reflecting on the kindness others have shown us, the help and benefit they bring to our lives, both directly and indirectly, as well as this, the kindness and benefit they bring to us in this and all previous lives too. We reflect in this way, developing a deep affection and tenderness towards others, and we use this as a basis to generate sincere love and compassion for all beings. And we develop love and compassion further to the point where we take personal responsibility for their welfare. This goes beyond love and compassion, where one's not merely wanting others to be freed from suffering and its causes and abide in lasting happiness, but where one says, I take responsibility for ensuring that that happens. Here one generates wholehearted resolve. Then one asks oneself the question, what is it that beings really want from me? What is it that they really require? And that is guidance. Guidance in how to cultivate the minds of the Dharma within so that they can gain freedom. But recognizing that I'm still struggling with myself, I still have a way to go in my own training. I have to develop my skill in order to help others more. One commits to becoming a Buddha for the sake of others. And thereafter, one engages in the various trainings of the practice of the Bodhisattva in order to actually become a Buddha. Those of ethics, generosity, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom.
아, 나는 마, 해야지. 안, 대다, 탈비를 남라, 괴비, 실, 예비, 고방, 대비, 심지네, 나소, 고네, 개와, 사지디, 교례, 땅, 침불, 제바, 민스.
Then the seventh verse. In order to establish a path of liberation within them, cultivate the mind yearning for the state of a victor, then engage in gathering virtue by way of a wide variety of means, without being satisfied with a mere limited accumulation. This verse builds on what continues from what we looked at this morning. So the first word in the Tibetan is our final word in the first line, the word them. So them refers to all mother sentient beings. So each and every being without exception is our object of care. And we've removed from our mind any sense of closeness to some and distance from others, but rather have developed a tenderness and affection towards all beings. And then the first line continues, in order to establish a path of liberation within them. And the second line, cultivate the mind yearning for the state of a victor. One has, the first line reflects the determination to lead all beings to cultivate liberation within, to transform their own minds. In other words, to guide beings to gain freedom from suffering. That is the first characteristic of the mind of bodhicitta. Then the second characteristic of the mind of bodhicitta is in the second line, where one commits, In order to do so, I will become a victor or a Buddha. I will strive for and attain Buddhahood so as to become the most skilled of guides and thereby be able to lead all beings to attain their own liberation. So these first two lines then refer to the two factors of bodhicitta. Again, continuing from where we looked at this morning, when one has generated bodhicitta, that still is insufficient because now one has the determination to become a Buddha to guide beings to enlightenment. Now one has to engage in the process of becoming a Buddha, so accumulating extensive virtue, and whilst doing so, engaging in beneficial deeds. So this then is the third line. Engage in gathering virtue by way of a wide variety of means. In differing presentations, the deeds or the means of a bodhisattva are explained. And these can be presented in an extensive manner, but most commonly they are condensed into the six perfections. So these are the six practices I've mentioned many times. Those of generosity, ethical restraint, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom. So these contain the practices of a bodhisattva. And there's also a grouping together with them, which are the four means of positively influencing others. So these four are, again, generosity, engaging in pleasant speech with others, giving appropriate teachings, and consistency in one's words and deeds.
Lelo kala kapu chakurwa, chida di si kuwa marda, nganzu ki dini zada, dini ki rang la jiyo kuhe ki lega di, chik chaya che, di mienbi ki da yang chik chue jiyo kukup da kuhe ki lega mienba ra yinne, chik ade lega di zaga zikara tonga do, an di lega di chaya che, chue jiyo di pasha asha na di kuwa marda, chis na di jawa nga shingi lega, dini ki jawa chung chung chik liya, ni shingi jiyo oda, dini ki chue jiyo di du su nyamne chaya di, chaban di kuwa marda, dini zada, dini ki jawa al mashin pa che, ね、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃあ、じゃ
I mentioned near at the beginning of our time together, the primary obstacle, or a primary obstacle for us to cultivate bodhicitta within, or to cultivate any of the paths progressing towards bodhicitta, is that of laziness. So just to talk a little further on laziness, because a question has been asked. So when one is challenging one's laziness, what is required is to look within. Look at our mind and determine where it's going and why it's going there. And then follow these various expressions of our mental intent and see what is in the direction of being in accordance with the Dharma and not. So, for example, so the text states that it talks about engaging, being distracted by today's chores and tomorrow's tasks. So this then refers to the wide number of activities that consume our time. So this is part of what we need to look at in terms of laziness. There are other expressions such as procrastination. But here we need to look at where are we putting our time and energy and our mental process whilst doing so. And then we need to see where our time is being well spent and where not so much. And as always, with all the trainings of the Dharma, they refer to training the mind and to train the mind in a balanced way, not in an extreme manner. So if someone were to read this and think it means that they need to now stop taking care of themselves and just somehow only read Dharma, only listen to teachings and only meditate, then their life, quite frankly, would fall apart. We need to have a balanced approach. And each individual needs to look for themselves where that balance lies right now. And that balance over time will also change. So to talk in a very general manner, for those who are ordained, they certainly also have chores and tasks that need to be engaged in. But they tend to be far fewer in number. Whereas those who are not ordained often have more commitments, more family obligations, and therefore will have a greater number of chores and tasks to engage in. But for both groups of people, ordained and non-ordained, there's an ongoing process of watching where are we putting our time and our energy, how is our mental process whilst doing it, is it in accordance with the Dharma or not, and are we and is this required or not? And we need to approach our life, all aspects of our life, our Dharma practice and our various chores and tasks, in a balanced manner. So, for example, if one wants to go out with your friends, then you ask yourself, do I need the break? And if so, then you take the break. And when you've relaxed enough, then you return to what you're doing before. Or if your friend needs you, then with the motivation of the Dharma, one helps your friend and you spend time with them. But the whole time, it's about being aware of one's mental process, ensuring it's in accordance with the Dharma, and over time, one's balance will change, but always to strike that balance between the chores and tasks that are required and cultivating the Dharma within.
The
motivation of the Bodhisattva is a motivation of wanting to lead all beings to a state freed of suffering, and to do so, to become a Buddha themselves. So with generating such a motivation, they then will engage in a wide variety of means to bring about those two goals.
The
way that we can engage in a wide variety of means is, as mentioned yesterday, when you wake up, generate a motivation and engage in some practice. So in our context here, generate a motivation of bodhicitta as just described. Generate a wish to free all beings from suffering by becoming a Buddha oneself. And with such a motivation, then one can engage in some a wide number of virtuous means in accordance with your own disposition. Some will make extensive offerings, perhaps with beautiful flowers or incense. Others engage in prostrations, others in mantra recitation. And all should also do some meditation on a particular topic, such as love and compassion or bodhicitta. So these are some of the methods by which we ourselves can engage in accumulation of merit by a wide variety of means. And
ね、あの、違う、そういう原点心場的、そういう心比、原点的、先、マシンバリア、ペンビ、ペンビ、セミア、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、人、
In your topic of meditation, you may choose to meditate on generosity. And especially if you know that in the day ahead, you will have the opportunity to practice generosity. In this way, you can include that in your meditation so to cultivate an excellent motivation. You cultivate the motivation of bodhicitta as described, and then reflect on the various expressions of generosity. So generosity is presented in three divisions, the first of which is that of material generosity. So this one can express by making offerings to the three jewels. One can also imagine fulfilling the material needs of all beings who have needs, those who are in poverty, those who are hungry, those who are in need of good living conditions. Imagine giving to all of them. And perhaps later in the day, knowing that you'll have the opportunity to do so, you can now cultivate the motivation to do so to engage in generosity with this motivation of bodhicitta. One can also practice generosity. It's the second way. The first was through material means. The second is through that of fearlessness. So this it refers to the generosity of fearlessness, refers to helping those who are experiencing intense fear, who are in grave danger. So perhaps if you know someone who's deeply ill, being of support or assistance to them, or if one happens to come across an animal, or probably more likely an insect, in grave danger, perhaps in a puddle of water, then one can help them and rescue them from the puddle of water. For that individual being, this is a great act of generosity. Their fear has been eradicated. They can continue to live. And the third type of generosity is that of giving of the Dharma. And here for ourselves, there where you have people who are in need of advice and request you for their advice, you can give them advice on how to deal with the challenges within. So these are the three general ways of generosity. That of material generosity, fearlessness, and giving of the Dharma. And then in addition, when you conclude your meditation or you conclude your day, dedicate your virtue. And you dedicate your virtue in various ways, but it all comes down to directly and indirectly alleviating the suffering of beings. So here one is offering one's virtue to all beings. May all beings come to experience the happiness of enlightenment, the state freed of all suffering. So this too, the giving of our merit, is also an expression of generosity. And further skillful means, we have here a wide variety of means. So further means to help others is firstly by being an example, by developing oneself, one becomes a role model. But moreover, those with whom you have influence, you have a good relationship, you can, by setting an example, encourage them to follow your example. So yeah, of course, it depends on the relationship you have with them, but you can encourage others in that you have the appropriate relationship with to engage in accumulation of merit. So for example, if there's an animal, perhaps a dog, and it's a little hungry and you've got some leftovers, you could ask this person to maybe give the leftovers to the dog. And they will see the delight that the dog has when it gets a treat. And this may well encourage them to practice more generosity. And in particular, when one does this act with a motivation of wanting to lead all beings to enlightenment, you here are helping both the dog as well as your friend, and all three of you are accumulating merit. And because of your motivation, you're accumulating extensive merit. And again, depending on your circumstances, if you're making offerings perhaps on your shrine or at a place such as this, then if your friend who accompanies you, you could encourage him to offer a flower alongside you. And in this way, by encouraging those that you have an appropriate relationship with, you help them to slowly develop a habit of giving more than they otherwise would and becoming more accustomed to giving. So this is an illustration of skillful means where through others, you accumulate merit,
but so too do they.
然后你的地位的忙吧呢，那可能也地位主要地位用过了吧，团结用呀的效果了吧，就是都是那啥，给我啥过来才行。And further, by talking to this person that you have a good relationship with and encouraging them in this act of generosity, you can explain to them how through this act they are creating the causes to have an abundance in future lives, and in this way, by encouraging them further, not only will they perhaps be more likely to practice generosity, but you yourself are engaging in the generosity of giving the Dharma, because you are giving them advice in accordance with the Dharma.
Jinba dushine samdawe na gewar gewar mo jo tu war wada jin din ne samada na jagan le gore ni ji ji gewar ja me jagan le kwa cha tu ro e kunu ngo thone dushine samdawe ne ha ji kunu ngo thone gewar le tu gor ba
So for those of you who get, have some kind of work, so this is something you have to do, but you can transform your ordinary work into an act of virtue. And to do this, you remind yourself that the financial security that you gain through having this work is due to the kindness of your employer, your colleagues, your customers. And therefore, I'm going to do the work to the very best of my ability so as to repay the kindness that they show me in this context, and perhaps in other ways they also have been of benefit to me in this and lives previous to this. So here one develops a sense of appreciation and closeness to one's employer and colleagues and customers. And with this motivation, recognizing this interdependency that we have, you engage in your work. And you transform one's good work ethic into an act of physical generosity, of generosity being expressed through one's physical work. And so you're still doing your work as well as always, but you've developed a motivation of the Dharma. And thereby, your work becomes an act of virtue.
And then the color of some Dharma, the color of the Dharma, that the Nigitone Gawa, so some of the Gawa Sai Yobare, she's not the new color session, Nigawa's Gai Chai or Marama. That's some of the Antone, so the color must color city, that thingy, Kaladi, then do some chit down at Chilia, then he, Chigi, Shihelia, Niname Yakuchi, and the Chigi, Shihelia, Pendo Yabu Julia, Tanga, Ludindi, and Chigi Tangu Chu, to me, Ludin Tangu Jemena, and Shihelia. Denigi da kaladi, sosugi samdam mata, sosugi joja, san matavache, disu padme by your tesulia, simje, disuya, and the segi toku winza, se mena, conjure, she to gure, then yinje, samje, ta conjure, jimbae, samje, savaina, that it, sosugi kala sago, soso joja, the dandal jangor, the ned, gunolia, sosu joja, san matavache, sosugi subunala yubi, businigile, jimbae, some tache.
그러니까
As mentioned previously, we can practice the Dharma in all circumstances. What limits us is often no more than just imagination. So for example, every time we eat, we largely eat to satiate our hunger and to enjoy something delicious and pleasing. But if we rather develop a sincere motivation that recognizes I'm eating this meal because it's nutritious and I need to sustain my body. I need to be in good health so that my body is not an impediment to my spiritual development. But through being healthy, I can hopefully live long, live a healthy life and engage deeply in the Dharma. So therefore, I'm going to eat this meal so as to maintain my health so I can continue my spiritual development. And then when one comes to eating itself, then one reminds oneself that in our body, in our gut, we have all these microbes. And this is not much of a rebirth for these tiny beings living within. But this is what all that their karma has led them to achieve and develop compassion for these suffering beings, these beings too, who want to experience happiness. And thereby, by eating, one knows one feeds the microbes in one's body, perhaps they're sentient, and therefore they are being benefited. And one also makes the aspiration that by sustaining my body in this way, by offering material generosity to these beings living in my body, may in future lives, when we once have a Dharma connection, may I lead them to full and complete enlightenment. So in this way, one's eating one's food, but has developed a compassionate outlook to the beings in one's body. Of course, one will expand it further. And then through this generosity, one accumulates extensive merit.
Before
your meal, you can always take a moment to offer your meal to the three jewels. And this can be done if you're with others in a quiet way. Offer the meal to the three jewels with sincerity. In this way, one creates merit. Then whilst eating it, through the way just described, one creates further virtue. Further, whilst one is eating, remind yourself that this meal was something that has been produced by countless thousands of individuals. The most obvious are the farmers involved with the growing of the food, or the animals from whom the milk was acquired. But also then there are all those who help the farmers, those who are involved with the transportation, the packaging, the processing of the food, the sale of the food, those involved with administration for the selling of the food. Thousands and thousands of beings have been involved in an indirect manner with this production of my meal. We do this to remind ourselves of our connection with others. We may be sitting here alone eating this meal, but we are doing so in dependence on the kindness of so many others, the benefit of that, others' endeavors have brought to us. And in particular, depending on some of the on what you're eating and the environment in which it was grown, some farm workers are, you know, they have a hard life, but yet they've grown these beans or whatever it may be, and now I am enjoying this meal. And here one develops a deep sense of connection and appreciation for others, recognizing that we actually have a real responsibility to repay that kindness to them and generate the determination that in the future, I will repay their kindness in the most meaningful of ways. And until then, this merit I'm creating by offering my meal, by dedicating it to others and so forth, I'll also dedicate it to their happiness, to their health, to their temporary happiness, as well as them to meet the Dharma and so forth. So in this way, whilst eating your meal, you're developing further minds of the Dharma. When your meal's finished and you're full and happy, if you have a little bit left over, then rather than just discard it, give it with intent. Because you may well have the habit of using your leftovers in a good manner, but do so with a good motivation. So depending on whatever system you have, if you're putting your leftovers in the compost, then be very aware. There are little beings in this compost that for them, this is a delicious feast. Offer it to them. Or if you're giving your leftovers to your pet or to the birds outside or to the insects, however you are getting rid of your leftovers, do so as an act of generosity, being aware that you are now helping feed others, bringing happiness to their life, making their life that bit better, and generate the aspiration to be able to eventually to help them in the most meaningful of ways. So in this way, from before one eats, while one eats, and after one has eaten, one can be using this as an opportunity to accumulate virtue.
And after
your meal, if you're alone, it's easy to do a dedication. If you're not, then perhaps while you're washing up, you dedicate all this merit you've accumulated. And yeah, it's good to recall the individual deeds you did so that you have the opportunity to recognize this and rejoice in the effort that you are making. And because by recalling what you've done, it gives you the motivation to continue. So recall you took the time to generate a decent motivation. And before you ate your meal, you offered it to the three jewels. Whilst you were enjoying your meal, you reflected on those in need in your body. You reflected on the kindness of those many who helped contribute to your meal. And you developed a sense of appreciation, of closeness to these people. And then, people and animals. And then at the end, you practice generosity with your leftovers. And here, dedicate that merit. Dedicate that merit in a wide variety of ways. Ways to, with expressing the aspiration for beings' temporary needs to be fulfilled, as well as the aspiration for beings to attain excellent rebirths and to meet the Dharma and to come under the care of spiritual teachers and for you to become one yourself and to guide them in lives to come. As has been mentioned many times, practicing of the Dharma refers to training your mind. Accumulating virtue or accumulating merit refers to virtuous ways of thinking. So here I've spoken about a creative way to think whilst eating your meal. So as a practitioner, it's for you then to come up with a variety of creative ways that you can approach the various events, various activities of your life, and then they will all become virtuous deeds. And as you become more skilled, you'll be able to combine these various practices in one. So, for example, we spoke about eating a meal, so this was many expressions of generosity. But one also ensures that one's mind stays unafflicted, is virtuous, and therefore you're being ethical. One is also, if the taste isn't so good, or maybe you bought the food, then without getting upset at the person who made it, you rather just be patient and do not allow the afflictions to arise. And so forth. So in this way, by using your own creativity, you can bring a variety of practices into the same mundane activity. And in that way, it's no longer a mundane activity. It's an act of Dharma. And for the bodhisattva engaging in a wide variety of means to accumulate or to gather extensive virtue, they would do so certainly in these mundane activities, but then also in formal activity, such as meditation on love or on emptiness, making offerings in a variety of ways, prostrations, recitation of mantra, circumambulation, and so forth. And using these at various times as different expressions of or different means by which to gather virtue.
Chore
Then the fourth line, and I'll just change the final word, without being satisfied with a mere limited means. So in the previous line, it's mentioned that the Bodhisattva engages in the gathering of virtue by a wide variety of means. So here, in the final line, do not allow yourself to be satisfied with a limited means. In other words, if you are drawn to meditation, don't leave your spiritual practice as only meditation. We need to engage in a wide variety of means to gather virtue. We need to engage in a wide variety of means to help others. We need to develop a wide variety of skills and talents to be able to benefit beings. So don't be limited. The Bodhisattva needs a broad and expansive mind, a heart that encompasses equally all beings. So therefore, when it comes to the accumulation of virtue, we shouldn't be content with doing it just in the ways that we like, for example, meditation or recitation of mantra or prostration. Whatever you're drawn to, whatever virtuous means you're drawn to, engage in that, but don't be limited by that. Develop a broad and expansive repertoire of skillful means to gather virtue and to benefit beings. Then the eighth verse. In brief, vows which have been willingly accepted must be upheld completely purely, consistent with your own strength, and in accordance with your learning. Strive to habituate your mind through the skillful means. The first line, in brief. So now Lama Tsongkhapa, whilst he said in the very first, at the outset of the text, that he's going to be just expressing himself in a few words, now he's really condensing, and he's saying, in brief or in summary, vows which have been willingly accepted. So he's addressing the requester of this advice, Dorje Pell, but he's also saying to all those, for example, ourselves, who encounter this text, that the vows that you have received, whether they the vows of the ordained or the non-ordained, the vows of the Bodhisattva or the vows of the secret mantra, whichever vows you have willingly accepted, live in accordance with those. This word vow is also translated as binds or ties or bringing together. And what it refers to, or what it means, is keeping oneself within the confines of these vows, and therefore living an ethical life. So these, the vows that one has willingly accepted, keep them well. The way for us now to really to relate to this term vows here is to understand the very basic concept of vows is that we restrain our physical behavior and our speech, and ideally our mind too. And this is the same as what we've heard in the context of ethical restraint, where we ethically ensure, or we ensure that we don't act in a physical manner that is unethical, or speak in a way that is unethical, and ideally to keep our mind also restrained from the afflictions. And this is the very basis, the ethics of restraining one's physical behavior, or binding one's physical behavior and speech and way of thinking, is the very basis for all good qualities. To the extent that this is lacking, we will not give rise to good qualities. Moreover, every virtuous endeavor you engage in, it's imperative that it is conjoined with ethics. Because if it's not, it will have a twofold result. The virtue we accumulate is greatly reduced because the mind is not ethical. And secondly, in fact, the non-virtue from the unethical mind may lead to the virtue being overwhelmed. In other words, it ends up being a negative deed. So for example, if someone asks you for some financial help, and you have the means and you give it to them, but it comes with a red face and a wagging finger and a lot of criticism, what kind of generosity is that? There's no generous spirit, and this person, they are being harmed. Now, you may be wanting the best for them, perhaps, or maybe not. Maybe you're just irritated that you're being asked again. So here, be very sure that when helping others, that one does so with a genuine spirit of wanting the best for them, wanting to help them. So this really is important. This makes this act of generosity an actual act of generosity. And likewise, if others are asking for advice, or maybe it's a situation where you are training someone, and this is an excellent opportunity to be of benefit to someone. But if you're doing so with a mind of criticism, or maybe even displaying the criticism through your tone of voice and your facial expression, this isn't much of an act of generosity. You're not being much help to that person. So you may be criticizing them. I've told you this before. Surely by now you know this. This is not required. This is not required. These ways of thinking we need to rather skillfully deal with. And to the extent we've developed a genuine care for others, even if we've been asked for the umpteenth time, we will share of ourselves with them. So this mind of ethical restraint, or the binds that vows bring to us, this is the very basis of excellent qualities. An ethical restraint really comes down to not bringing harm to the lives of others, both directly and indirectly. So, for example, if there's maybe a place of work or someone you know who really has an abundance, and you think, oh, I'll help myself just through this, but it's not for me, I'm going to give it to others. This is not an ethical act, even if they don't notice. We don't do something unethical in order to practice, for example, generosity. We don't do something unethical thinking, we'll help others. We need to guard our ethics in all circumstances. It is the very basis of which, in which all good qualities can flourish.
Something about your family talk down.
so that the second line must be upheld completely purely. So this refers to what was mentioned in the previous segment, don't steal in order to give. And the third line, consistent with your own strength and in accordance with your learning. Here, one needs to recognize where we are each as an individual in terms of our training. And because right now, our strength and our learning is as it is. So from this, we should take two lessons. One, that we need to be honest with ourselves and act in accordance with our capacity. And if we can push the envelope a bit, this is often good to do, but be careful. Don't push yourself beyond your capacity, because then you are likely to fall back. For example, with the practice of material generosity, if one gives too much, more than one can afford, later one is likely to regret that. This only harms one's merit, and of course one then creates an obstacle within yourself to the Dharma, regretting what one had done before. So look at your capacity, and where you have, then give. Where you do not have, develop the aspiration that in the future, when I have the means, I will do so. Right now I don't, but I wish I could. And that is, and then offer your generosity mentally. So here we are being encouraged with this process of looking within to act in accordance with our means and our capacity and to be honest with ourselves. But also with this, take that as motivation to strive to develop our learning and thereby our strength and our capacity. Because as we develop knowledge and integrate that knowledge through reflection, our capacity will grow. So where we are right now is not where we were before. And as to the extent we continue to train, where we are right now is not where we will be in the future. So be honest with yourself. Act in accordance with your capacity. Don't push yourself too far. And also, in terms of meditation topics, meditate where you are in terms of the stages of training. Don't follow your inclination to meditate on a very famous topic or to do a famous practice, one which has a lot of prestige that you can talk to others about. Meditate where you are, because then your mind will develop and grow. Whereas if you aim too high, nothing much will come. So therefore, come, recognize where you are and train in accordance with your capacity. Lama concludes the verse with, strive to habituate your mind through this skillful means. So the skillful means here refers to the final word in the previous line, that of learning. Here, Dharma Tsongkhapa is encouraging us to continue this process of gathering knowledge, hearing teachings, reading books, and together with us, engaging in reflection on what we are learning. Because what one needs to guard oneself against is the gathering of the mere gathering of knowledge, becoming intellectually learned, but one's mind not transformed. To transform our mind, we need knowledge. We need to study. But we also then need to integrate that through thinking about the meaning of what we're learning in relation to ourselves, our own mind, our own life. So this is imperative. Hearing or learning and reflecting on what we're learning. And eventually the point will come when we are ready to meditate on what we've been reflecting. Now, just to say as an aside, generally in English, the terms meditation and reflection are synonymous. In this particular context, meditation means something different. It means single-pointed concentration on what one had been reflecting on previously. So this, normally when we talk about meditation, it's actually reflection. And meditation in this context means single-pointed concentration. Now, to return to what Ken was saying, so having learnt a lot, become educated, and reflected deeply on that, then one is ready to engage in single-pointed meditation on that particular topic, cultivating it very deep within. So for where we are now, generate enthusiasm for this path ahead of us. Generate enthusiasm so that we continue gathering knowledge and reflecting, aspiring to the time when we can commit to meditating with single-pointed concentration on the various topics of the Dharma.
Whichever
topic of the Dharma right now you have an aspiration to cultivate within, whether it's bodhicitta or the wisdom realizing emptiness, be very clear that the attainment of that particular goal only comes about independence on training in a particular manner and in a particular sequence. So, for example, to give rise to bodhicitta, it's indispensable to have first given rise to the wholehearted resolve where one takes responsibility for guiding all beings to a state freed of suffering. But to generate the wholehearted resolve, one has to have generated actual love and compassion in relation to all beings. And to generate actual love and compassion in relation to all beings, one has to have trained in affectionate love towards all beings, this feeling of closeness, of tenderness towards each and every mother being. So there is a specific sequence in which one needs to train one's mind. Moreover, one needs to gather extensive knowledge on each topic, understanding intellectually each topic, and with this understanding, how to train, understanding the various steps of meditation, understanding the various reasonings that are applied. And then one can't merely know this, one has to incorporate it through engaging in analytical meditation or reflection, where one uses these reasons and meditates again and again on the various topic, so that various topics, so that they arise within one's mind. So here I'm mentioning two things together. There's a specific sequence of meditations or trainings that one has to go through in order to give rise to your goal. If you just start with at that level, you will not give rise to the goal. You have to train in this sequence. And moreover, to train well in that sequence, you need extensive knowledge and reflection. These two have to be done together. Then eventually one comes to the point where one can engage with single-pointed meditation. So here we can call it placement meditation. So you have analytical meditation where you meditate with reasons, and then placement meditation where you just abide on the object. You place your mind on the object. So for ourselves, where we are now, mainly we do analysis. But every now and again, a feeling will arise within us, and then we can do placement on that. And in this way, strengthen our habituation to the topic we are meditating on. Eventually, you'll be ready to develop single-pointed concentration and meditate on the topics with that. So I've mentioned the example here in terms of bodhicitta. It's the same if you have the wish to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness. There is a specific sequence of meditations to go through. These require extensive knowledge to learn that sequence, to learn the various reflections, and then to be doing so whilst learning. And eventually then, one will be ready to engage in single-pointed meditation and come to an actual realization of emptiness. I'm going to close with another brief presentation on how you can take this and meditate on it. Because you can, how one, the structure of a meditation, one can feel one's way to what works well for you at a particular point, and it can change over time. But often the morning is a good time to meditate when the environment is still quite quiet and still. So when you wake up and you're waking up, you can start start to cultivate your motivation of bodhicitta. And this will come about, especially as it's first thing in the morning, it will be a bit rough, and it will mainly come about independent on your meditations up to this point. And then you lay out your offerings, and then you sit down. Now you're still, and you cultivate this motivation much more strongly. And you start to, can start then to recall the relationship you have with other beings. Recall the interdependent relationship that we share with all beings. And the way that their various activities, directly and indirectly, bring benefit to my life. Even though I'm an adult, in many ways I'm quite helpless, I'm dependent on the kindness of others, on their own mundane activities, but they all bring me some benefit. And this way, develop a sense of connection with others. And we use this as a basis to develop a feeling of closeness to others. And slowly over time, we'll be able to break down the barriers between those that we are closer to and those that we are indifferent towards. And then what, to the extent that we've generated a wish of concern and care for others, we cultivate the mind of love. Love is the wish for others to abide in happiness. Here we can imagine other beings abiding in happiness, a life completely free of problems, and a life that will, in which they will never, ever again experience problems. So this is a state of lasting happiness. We give rise to that as an aspiration. But for that to come about, beings actually have to be freed from suffering and its causes. So then we meditate on compassion. And we can recall to mind the various sufferings that beings experience, humans, animals, and so forth, and remind ourselves that all of the suffering experiences beings have come about from the karma they've accumulated under the influence of their afflictions. Here we generate, with a mind of compassion, the wish may all beings gain freedom from their afflictions and the resultant suffering created by those afflictions. Then one can develop that further into the mind of wholehearted resolve. So eventually that will come naturally, but at first we need to intentionally generate it, where we generate the understanding that it is, I have a responsibility towards others. They, in this life, have shown me tremendous kindness, and in lives previous, in various guises, have shown me tremendous kindness. I have a responsibility to repay that, and I will do so. And I will ensure each being is attained a state of lasting happiness. This is my responsibility. And then we generate bodhicitta, which we add to that the recognition, but right now I lack the capacity. I have to become the most skilled of guides, a Buddha. And here one generates bodhicitta. And then one can engage in meditation on the six perfections. But if time's limited, perhaps just two. In particular, that of ethics, where one generates the determination that everyone that I encounter today, I will guard my mind to the best extent I can so that I don't physically interact with others in a harmful manner. I don't show a facial expression of displeasure or annoyance with anyone. And my speech, no matter what the situation, I'll try and have my speech be one of care and kindness and not express any harm or ill will to others. So here one develops the determination of ethics not to bring harm to others. And over time, this becomes ever more sincere as one values others more, whomever they may be, however they may be relating to you. And as a companion to this, one then can reflect on generosity. Ethics is the determination not to harm. Generosity is the wish to be of benefit. And this, again, over time arises ever more naturally, the wish to ease the suffering of others, the wish to bring benefits into the lives of others. And there you can think about events and opportunities that lie before you in the day, or you can think about general need in the world and have at least the aspiration to be able to fulfill the needs of beings. So in this way, by doing a meditation similar to what's just being presented in these 5 minutes, you create a lot of virtue because your mind throughout has been virtuous. And because it's been done in the context of bodhicitta, you're creating the causes for enlightenment. And indirectly, you're creating the causes for your own liberation from suffering, as well as your causes for an excellent rebirth and favorable circumstances. So I encourage you to start each day like this. And it just takes a few minutes, and you spend a similar amount of time at the end of the day. Review what you did. Rejoice where you helped others, where you had a good mind. And where your mind was not so ideal, recognize that and commit to trying the next day to keep the mind virtuous at all times. So rejoice in your successes. And where you didn't respond or act in a way that was ideal, that's okay. But tomorrow, commit to trying again. And finally, you dedicate. And yeah, there are many prayers that one can recite. And also add one's own, those that come from your own heart. And what they come down to is this aspiration. May all beings be freed from all forms of suffering. In particular, may they gain freedom from their own afflicted minds, and thereby attain a state of lasting happiness. And until that they attain the state of lasting happiness, may they at the very least treat others with care and kindness, and treat themselves with care and kindness. May there be no conflict in the world, not in homes, not between communities, or between nations. And in this way, you end the day like you started it. You continue this process day after day, and it will have an impact, a lasting impact, on your mind. Then thank you, and we can conclude therefore today. Thank you.